we want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good morning, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning in to the Refresh Radio broadcast brought to you by Merritt Assembly of God right here on WMIE 91.5 or WWBC 1510 AM or on the internet through the WMIE website or through some of the corresponding signals throughout, or you can go to the website and download some of the older programs and listen to it if you happen to listen to it live. In other words, there's a lot of different ways that you could listen to this broadcast. And with that being said, I want to take just a moment, I'm very thankful for today. Lots of good things happened that resulted in benefits in my life as a result of this day. And so this is a day that I am extremely grateful. A little bit later today, I'll also be in getting work done for some improvement in my vision. I'm very thankful. God gave me a word about a year and a half ago when I started this journey with the detached retina, and the retina has cleared up. And I don't know if this means anything to you, but my golf game is almost back to as good as it was beforehand. I'm able to see things better, and they're going to do some work on the eye here soon. I don't know exactly when. I go in for some pre-op stuff today, and somebody told me recently, said you're going to be able to see clearer than you ever had. You're going to be able to perceive things that you hadn't perceived before. It's going to end up being much, much better for you. And that would be in line with the word that God gave me when I first started this journey. And so we're very thankful for that. Hope you had a wonderful Father's Day. And we want to encourage you to stay in contact with your father, even if you had a less than perfect father. In fact, if you had a perfect father, you probably don't know everything there is to know about their life. My kids, their father is not perfect. And, you know, and by the way, I'll say this, if you do blow it, don't be too proud to go and let somebody know, hey, I'm sorry, I messed up, and would you please forgive me? That would be something that would not show weakness on your part. It will eventually reveal itself as strength. So, guys, I hope you had a great day. If you haven't made contact with your father yet, please do so if it is at all possible, and let them know that you love them and appreciate them. Back in the old days, you don't see this too much anymore, in the old days, when the only way to make a long-distance call was either you paid for it or somebody else paid for it, where Mother's Day was known as one of the days where the most greeting cards were sent, Father's Day was known as the day that most collect phone calls was made. In other words, it's like, hey, Dad, I'm glad you're paying for this call so I can tell you that I love you, and that sort of stuff. Enjoy your time with your dad. And by the way, if you've got a smartphone, you know, my parents have an iPhone. I have an iPhone. And so even though they're a long ways away, it's amazing what you can do, and they can see your face. We use that technology here to be a blessing here. Not too long ago, my mother's birthday, I FaceTimed with her, and sometimes we get locked into old thinking and just thinking in terms of voice and hearing and talking. But use the technology that you have. If they've got a phone that you can Skype with or FaceTime with, let them see your face. Here a couple of weeks ago, or I guess it was a little over a week ago, my daughter was with my wife's mom. She does not have a smartphone. We have tried to get her smartphone and get it up and running where she could do this. But my daughter was out there, and so my son and daughter-in-law FaceTimed her so that my wife's mother could see her first great-grandchild. And that was a real blessing to her and to the family as well. It meant a lot to them. And so use that technology. Make sure you don't take those relationships for granted. Your mother and your father are God's first great gift into your life. And so if you've got a godly mother and father, honor them, thank them. In fact, if you don't, honor them and thank them anyway, and then do better than what they did. Amen. I just amen to myself. That's not the first time that's ever happened. Want to say thank you today to Creative AC Solution 759-3284, 759-3284. If they can be of benefit to you and help get your air conditioning up and running, give them a call. You do not want to be without AC during this time. 759-3284. Moving right along, we're going to get back into where we were on Friday. We're in Isaiah chapter 17. We're talking about his word to Damascus, and we will see why the harvest was deteriorating and the glory of Israel was fading. In verse number 9, it said, "In that day his strong cities will be as a forsaken bough and an uppermost branch, which they left because of the children of Israel, and there will be desolation. Because you have forgotten the God of your salvation and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold." And so it says that the cities were going to result in desolation because they were going to be as a forsaken bough, as a neglected branch of a tree, as something that was not paid attention to. It wasn't pruned properly. It wasn't cared for properly. We had some plants here recently, and I came out and I said, "What is that smell?" We had a board meeting, and we said, I began to try and label the smell. You know, my kids call me the nose. When they were growing up, they used to make fun of me because we'd go to bed, especially on a Saturday night. I like to go to bed early so I can wake up refreshed to preach the word of God. And I would be in bed, and they would start cooking something. And if they started cooking, all of a sudden the scent would make its way to my bedroom. And my son got to the point where he would start a countdown clock. He would start counting down 10, 9, 8, and they were waiting. They were counting down for me to emerge from my room to see if something was burning, because in my mind, first of all, I was in a house fire when I was much younger. I was probably 13 when my parents first left us alone. We had a deep fryer that the switch malfunctioned on, and it malfunctioned and it looked like it was off, but it was actually on high. My mother and father said, "You know what, we're gonna trust you while we go to the store." And when they came back, the house was on fire because of that. And so having been the responsible party in the house, and I unplugged it, but it was too late. The oil was already too hot, and there was a spark, I guess, that when I unplugged it, that ignited the vapors, and the house caught on fire. So having been there, I didn't never wanted to be in one again. And so I take that, the smell of smoke, very seriously. And so they say, "Hey, you know, we're going to make fun of you because you've got a nose that, pays attention to what's going on in the house. I don't want to live in a place that is neglected spiritually." You know, the Proverbs talks about people who live in houses where rafters sag. Don't neglect your house. That was the message that I preached yesterday. Do not neglect the gift of God that is in you by the laying on of hands through the gift of prophecy. Don't neglect God's gift. It's in 1 Timothy chapter 4. And so in that day, it says that desolation comes because the cities, the strong cities, the robust cities, the places where people rally to get jobs, where life is easier and stuff like that. He said they're going to be like a forsaken bough. They're going to end up desolate places because they have been forsaken. I don't want to forsake my responsibilities, but I don't want to forsake my relationship with God either. And I certainly am thankful that God said he would never leave us and he would never forsake us. Listen to verse number 10. It says, because you have forgotten the God of your salvation. Now on Friday's broadcast, we were talking and it says, in that day, a man will look to his maker and his eyes will have respect for the Holy One of Israel. The implication in that verse is that they had not been doing that. They knew to do that, but they had neglected to do it. And they got focused on the things of this life instead of on the one who created this life in the first place. And so it says, you have forgotten the God of your salvation. So if we realize that salvation is an act that comes from God, and we all need salvation, how much more of a priority should we make God, who is going to produce the salvation? Now, on Friday's broadcast, I mentioned you need to focus on God, not just his works. A lot of people are looking to God for fire insurance. We talked about hell last week. We talked about the motives and the works of the devil. But we need to focus on God. I am so thankful for my wife. I spend time with her because I love her. Last week, there was a ladies' meeting. She got up early. She worked all day. She came. She had a ladies' meeting. They had a wonderful time. They ate wonderful food. And but prior to that, there was she came to the church straight from work. She didn't even go home. Didn't change clothes. Just came, set up for the meeting, and blam, there they went. We finally got home about 9 o'clock. That was about a 14-hour day for her. And then there was a daughter she hadn't seen in a couple of weeks, and so they needed to set up and talk for a little while. And then when she came in, fell asleep pretty quick, and then she got up and did it all over again. And then Wednesday she gets up and does that, and then comes straight to the church from work and ministers to kids. And so by the time Saturday rolls around, she is ready for a rest. But you know what? We love spending time with one another. I loved spending time with her before kids. I love spending time with her with kids. I love spending time with her when kids aren't there. We just love one another. And that's really the mindset that we should have with God. Not what can you do for me, but God, I love you and I just want to be on this journey with you. Just be on this journey. While the ladies were having a meeting, one of the husbands had brought his wife, and so he was all by himself. He was just going to hang out. It's a bit of a drive, too far for him to drive back home and then come back. And so I said, well, let you and I go out and grab something to eat. And he told me of a marriage or a couple's retreat that they were at. And somebody said, hey, this baseball player is here. And he said, there's so many people here. I will never run into him. And then all of a sudden he looked over at his shoulder and he was right there next to him. And it's like, wow, that was a really big thing for, you know, to have a person. This was in New York City. A New York Yankee is sitting next to you in a marriage conference. And you know, I don't know how the rest of the conference went, but that was a milestone event. Who he was attending the conference with. And, you know, this week, I challenged the men yesterday, don't neglect the gift. Don't neglect your spouse. Don't neglect God. Don't neglect your spirit. Don't neglect your kids. Don't neglect the problems that you face. pay attention to them. They are growing opportunities. And so don't neglect those things and say, you know, I am just so glad to go through this. Don't forget God. Don't forget that salvation is a byproduct of Him. It is not an entitlement. It is a privilege. And it says, and you have not been mindful. So the first thing is you've forgotten the God of your salvation. The second is, and have not been mindful of the rock of your stronghold. So when I see the word mindful, I start looking at it and it's like, is my mind full of the Word of God? Is it full of God? What fills my mind? There is an old song that says, you know, whatever you put in is the same thing that you are going to get out. You can't be putting garbage in and expecting that you are going to get treasure to come out the other side. Don't be neglectful, but be mindful of God. When was the last time you just sat down to think about what God would have you to do? What could God do through you? Think about it. Think about it. It will change the things that we think about. There's a scripture that says, as a man thinketh, so is he. And so if we start thinking strategically, I'm not talking about daydreaming. I'm talking about thinking strategically about the things of God and dreaming and saying, God, what would you have me to do? All of a sudden, we will begin to look for the realities of those things being manifest in our life. Be mindful of them. And so he says, therefore, you will plant pleasant plants. This is verse number 10. And Isaiah chapter 17, and set out foreign seedlings, and that day you will make your plant to grow, and in the morning you will make your seed to flourish, but the harvest will be a heap of ruins in the day of grief and desperate sorrow. Woe to the multitude of many people who make a noise like the roar of seed, and to the seas, and to the rushing of the nations that make a rushing like the rushing of mighty waters. The nations will rush like the rushing of many waters, but God will rebuke them and they will flee away. So here's, remember, this is a word to Damascus. And a lot of times we as society get focused on the noise. We get focused on the volume. I don't know about you, but when I'm driving down the road and I hear a car two or three vehicles away from me and I've got my windows up and I can't hear my radio because of the sheer overwhelming bass volume that is coming out, the first thing that I do is I think of how bad their hearing might be in the near future. You know, those loud noises will eventually damage your hearing if it stays at that level. For, in case you want to know what those thresholds are, there's federal guidelines. It says, you know, every 3 decibels shortens the half-life of how long you can endure it. And so I don't know how we got on that, but whenever I'm there and I hear that, it's like, oh, I really feel bad for the person. God's not impressed with the volume. It was for Elijah, the still small voice that said, you know what? It wasn't the earthquake. It wasn't the fire. It wasn't the rocks falling or any of that sort of stuff. It wasn't the powerful wind. It was the still small voice. And Elijah said, God's got something to say to me. And so God says, and with all of those rushing, you know, powerful forces and loud volumes of noise, he said, I will rebuke them and they will flee away. Do you realize that what God is saying is the power of a singular word from the throne of grace can send all of the volume of noise and distraction fleeing in defeat? Fleeing in defeat. I remind you that the scripture says, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Sometimes, especially we guys, we want to work out the problem. We want to solve it. If you don't want this problem solved, then don't tell me about it. That's my thing is I tend to have a problem solving mentality. If somebody tells me something, you want me to fix it, I will fix it. If you just want me to feel sorry for you, then you're wasting your time and you're wasting my time. My feeling sorry for you won't change anything. But sometimes we would be better served, rather than putting our hand to it, we would be better served by praying about the situation and asking God to speak to it. There's a phrase that appears a couple of times in the scriptures. One is in the book of Jude. I believe the other is in Zechariah. And it says this: the Lord rebuke you, Satan. The Lord rebuke you. Now, I've been rebuked before. I've been rebuked by people who weren't in the position to rebuke me. They rebuked me anyway. But you know what? Their rebuke didn't have that much effect upon me. Ticked me off a little bit, but their rebuke had no lasting effect because there was no authority behind their rebuke. I've had other people who rebuked me, corrected me, and because they did have position, they did have authority, their rebuke changed behavior, set about a correction course, and I followed that. And I considered it the wounds of a faithful friend. Their words changed direction in my life. How much more do we need God to speak into our circumstances? I'll be honest with you. I have no confidence. I'm not talking about this election cycle. I'm talking about every election cycle. I have no confidence in the power of men to bring about my deliverance, but I have great confidence in the power of God and in the word that comes from his throne, that when he speaks, mountains tremble. When he speaks, chaos becomes order. When he speaks, darkness gives way to light. When he speaks, the devourer is rebuked. When he speaks, fruitlessness becomes places of bounty. When he speaks, the strong become weak. When he speaks, islands disappear. When he speaks, things happen. When he rebukes Satan, Satan is rebuked. And so this passage in Isaiah, it concludes with this: but God will rebuke them and they will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the portion of those who plunder us and the lot of those who rob us. Let me read that again. They will flee far away and be chased like the chaff of the mountains before the wind, like a rolling thing before the whirlwind. Then behold, at eventide, trouble, and before the morning, he is no more. This is the plunder of those who plunder us and the lot of those who rob us. God is your defender. He is your fortress. He is your strength. It may seem as if your enemies are fortified, that they're entrenched, and they're going to endure forever. But when God speaks, things begin to change. In fact, the timeline of this says that your enemies can be in a firm position of mourning. All of a sudden at night, they can be in trouble. And the next morning, they will be nowhere around. Now, I want to tell you something that my presbyter, my supervisor, spoke into my life many, many years ago. And he said, "I never rejoice at whatever happens to my enemies, because I don't ever want to have to go around that mountain again." You know, I never forgot that. He came from a military background. He knows what it's like to be in hostility. He knows how to rejoice, and he knows how to endure like a faithful soldier. But he said, I never rejoice at whatever happens to my enemies. I never rejoice at whatever happens to those who attack me. And the reality is, he said, I want to demonstrate to God that he is the one who brings the victory. And I don't want to have to go around. I don't want to have to learn this lesson. I don't want to have to repeat this class ever again. I want to come out. I want to come out in a manner that is honoring and dignifying God. And I don't want to have to go around the mountain of opposition any more than I have to. And I never forgot that. This is the portion of those who plunder us and the lot of those who rob us. God is your vindicator. The scripture says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. There are a lot of things that God says are his. You are his people. The Sabbath is his. The tithe is his. And vengeance is his. The glory is his. The blessing, the power, all of those belong to him. And what I have found is that when God has reserved something for himself, it's in my best interest to leave that in his very capable hands. He won't mess it up. I can mess it up. So 2005, 2006, going through a very difficult season, and God speaks something into my life, and he said, this is what's going on. It's a byproduct of a mindset that you had 10 years ago. And then he said, how many times do you want to go around this mountain? I said, God, if it's okay with you, I'll just go around this one time. And I said, I'm going to remember that you're the commander in chief. You're the one who positions us. And I'm going to run hard after you. I don't want to take your job. You're very good at your job. So today, if you've been repeating the same mistakes over and over again, I want to remind you of the God of your salvation. Make him the priority of your life and let him speak to your situation. He'll give you wisdom, he'll give you strategy, and he will give you the victory. Father, right now, we want to thank you. Lord, we don't rejoice over our enemies. God, we rejoice in the God of our salvation. And I pray, God, that as you speak, we will listen. And as we hear, we will obey for your glory and for your praise. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.
Lord, I wish I could praise you with adequate words, but you leave me speechless. And I so long to sing you the song you deserve, but it would be endless. I long to move your heart, I bring you something new, I tell how great you are, I tell my praise to you. It's like an